Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
The right crowd puts him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that.
On TalkSport.
You're listening to Fight Night on TalkSport with me, Gareth A. Davies, and Adi Oladipo. It's Ladies' Night Special here on Fight Night. Given that the England Lionesses were on the eve of their historic win against Germany in the European Women's Football Championship, we began, Adi and I, with a fantastic hour in the studio with Ebony Bridges.
From New South Wales, Australia, Ebony Bridges.
Life is a mystery.
People look at me and they think that I can't fight or I don't take the sport seriously just because of what I'm pretty, because I like to, you know, get in the scales a certain way.
Bridges just letting the hands go. Double right hand, just got round the side of the guard.
Doesn't mean I don't take the job seriously. Doesn't mean I don't train hard or harder than anyone else.
Strength, the power from Ebony Bridges.
If I've got to go on a back foot and jab her head off to win it, that's what I've got to do.
Ebony Bridges working really well, good combination. Really mixing it up, lovely variation.
I can do it all, and I know I can do it all.
Going to a shower, right hand over the top from Ebony Bridges.
The blonde bomber, Ebony Bridges.
Yeah, she's here. Let's give her a round of applause. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go. Do it.
Hey, boys.
The current IBF bantamweight world champion is in the building, and I love it that she's here. Ebony Bridges joins us. Ebony, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm excited to be here. My first time in the studio.
What?
So thank you. Yes. And it's great. You know, we've done a bit of work together.
We
ringside.
Have.
And obviously, Gareth, you know, we go way back, I think, from like, you know, way back. You're one of the first people to interview me for the, like, before Shannon Courtney. So I'm very excited to be here with you guys.
It's you know, you heard what we were saying about the time of women. It's the time, isn't it? You know, it really, really is. And I mean, we mentioned Ramla Ali there being on the Saudi card. You and I spoke about this the other day. You wanted to be on that card, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. You know, but I wanted a female. We said, you know, I wanted a female fight on that card. Mm. And I question it. Why is there not a female card? Why there's not a female fight on a card in Saudi? And I said to you that I questioned it to Matchroom. And I'm really, really excited. And I'm so happy for Ramla, but I'm really happy for women's boxing. Not just, you know, especially in Saudi, because there's those women in Saudi, they need representation as well, and just so that you can be strong, you can be fierce, and that we are allowed to be in a man's world, you know, and I think it's just great. And Ramla's, you know, she's a great advocate, so I'm really excited, you know.
What's it like now you're based here? You've travelled so much in the last couple of years. It's ridiculous the amount of air miles you've done. It's like you've lived in the sky. Now that you are based in the UK, trained by Mark Tibbs, fantastic trainer, what's it like to be based here now full time?
Oh, it's excellent, honestly. Yeah. It didn't take me long to settle in. I felt like this was home for quite a while now, because I have such a great, like, obviously this is my work here, my job, my boxing. I have all my sponsors here. I have some great community of friends here that are like family.
Quite a lot of fans as well.
Great, of course. A lot of all the fans are here, you know. And I think for me, you know, boxing's my life, and boxing's so big in the UK that it just made sense for me. And when I was travelling back home, I'd go back home and I'd get like a bit of blues. Like, I'd be home in Australia and I'm like, why am I here, man? Like,
really?
Yeah, because like for me, if you, you know, haven't noticed, boxing is everything for me, and I put everything into my goals. And for me, all I care about is being a champion or achieving my goals. So going back to Australia, it doesn't, personally, it doesn't help me achieve my goals. You know, all it for me is the way I was looking at it was just ruining my momentum or slowing my momentum down, you know. So for me to be over here, it's where I can, you know, really like explode even more. You know, there's it's, here is the place for boxing, I think even globally, and but especially for women's boxing.
Yeah, there's money to be made here. Let's go back a few years. There would be a lot of people that would have only known you leading the lead up to the Shannon Courtney fight. Kind of take us back a few years and what you were doing before that. I know you were a teacher, a bit of bodybuilding as well.
Yep.
Ring card girl. Remember you showed me photos of you being a ring card girl. Tell your story for those that don't know. Ebony Bridges prior to the Shannon Courtney fight.
Prior to the Shannon Courtney fight. Okay, so, yeah, well, look, I was, before even boxing, I had my first amateur fight 2 weeks before my 30th birthday.
Jesus, late.
Yeah, so that was only 6 years ago. Mm. Actually, less than six because I'm not 36 yet. calm down. I'm gonna like, you know, milk these years.
Yeah. Hold on. Tell
yeah, okay,
now,
I'm
on.
Not going to say I'm 36 yet because I'm not. I've still got a couple of months. Mm. No, but honestly, it was, 2 weeks before my 30th birthday that I had my first boxing fight. And before then, I was a bodybuilder. I was a competitive bodybuilder. I did that all through my 20s. Mm. But I've always been an avid combat sports fan, boxing fan since I was younger. You know, I did martial arts from the age of 5, you know, karate, black belt, kickboxing, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like aggression or combat sports was new to me. Mm. It was just that it wasn't possible for me at the stage before. Because in Australia, in most states in Australia, it was actually illegal for women to fight in combat sports until 2008. So it wasn't really a realistic thing when I was growing up. Oh, I'm going to be a famous boxer. I'm going to be a world champion. It just wasn't really something to be seen.
Yeah.
So I did the bodybuilding. I did the ring card girling because I loved the boxing and the kickboxing and I just wanted to be at the fights. And I just thought, what a great job. I get to sit ringside, literally get the best view of the fights and I get to get paid for it.
Yeah. Could you between rounds do your own ring cards now?
I could definitely. Have you not seen me work those scales? You've seen me work those scales. I got the moves and they did not. Sometimes I look and I'm like, oh, I would like to do that again. It'd be cute. But, you know, when I used to do it, we used to wear bikinis and G-strings and now they got to be really clothed. So, I mean, it'd be quite easy now, but it's crazy how things have changed, you know, over the years. But no, look, I've always joked about it and said I should just do a run it back and get in there one day. But look, for now, I'm you know, world champion. And
well, let me wind up all those things you were talking about the bodybuilding and the martial arts and boxing and combat sports. What is it? We will get into this. You're here with us for an hour in the studio. What is it that drew you to that physicality in the beginning?
Well, I don't know. Honestly, I got put into martial arts when I was a kid from my family when I was 5. Nothing really drew me to it. My parents
because
put me in,
because your
but
parents
I stuck
were
it.
Into it? Or?
No, they just thought it would be good. Like most
you're
people.
You're hyperactive?
I've always been, hyperactive. But I
know
just,
how hyperactive you
I'm
are.
Very hyperactive.
Like, yeah.
But I do think everyone, not everyone knows, but a lot of people know martial arts is great for discipline.
Yeah.
Mm. And back then it was even more hardcore. Like, you know, when I was doing karate, it was like, you couldn't do that to kids now. Like, it'd be illegal.
You get bullied. They call it bullying now,
well,
they?
You would say, like, you can't treat a child like that. You can't do that. Like, how dare you make kids do that? Like, that's abuse. But, like, back then it was discipline, right?
Yeah.
And, it was just about building discipline. Like any sport, really, for kids, it's all about discipline. And I think combat sports in particular is known for its discipline and its respect. You have respect, right? So obviously growing up, we got into that and I was big fans, you know, the Van Damme and you know.
It's Van Damme and Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal,
yeah.
Van Damme.
Like,
if you're an 80s kid,
Seagal.
If you're like a 70s and an 80s kid, like that's your guys,
you
man.
Claude.
Van Damme. Claude Van Damme. You know, so yeah, that was what it was all about. And I think just as I got older, as always, I still had that aggression. And I just liked hitting things. I liked smashing things. And I was just like...
Some things haven't changed them.
No, I just love smashing things. And when I finished my bodybuilding, I'm like, what do I want to do? Like, you know, I can't just sit back now. I'm a competitive person and I like to push myself. And I thought, well, man, like, I've always loved combat sports. I've always loved hitting things and people, to be honest. You know, I was in a lot
street
of trouble.
Fights.
Street fights, in my teens.
Brawling in Oz.
Brawling, yeah. I mean, it was more one-sided fights because I could fight and the girls couldn't, but it was definitely...
Were you fighting the boys?
I did, yeah. I had fights with guys, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know.
Over what?
I'd love to go out with Ebony. I'd love to go out with Ebony for a drink and someone
No. Over what?
Over what? Well, I actually... Yeah, I mean, I had a fight with an ex for stalking me, so I...
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, and for just people in clubs harassing me.
Right. So just the right hand just comes over, does it?
Yeah.
It's like you've had enough, the right hand comes over,
you
left
know what?
Hook.
To be honest, it was a lot more elbows and knees back then because I did Muay Thai and...
So
and
you got the plum clinch, you get them behind
the
neck.
Whoa. Yeah. So you can just have it then?
Yeah, I just wanted to just mess people up, yeah.
Wow.
No, but I was never really going to start fights, to be fair. It was always like...
You just finished them?
I just finished them and I did finish them.
As you've done so far in your pro career.
That's what I do, right? I finish it. You know, you want to start it, I'll finish it. No. But it would be like if a girl would slap me or a girl would push me or whatever. I'm like, man, I don't want to fight. But you can only take so much. And I grew up in an area where I looked very different as well. And, you know, it was like, you know, let's pick on a blonde girl.
In what way? Well, let's get into that in a minute.
Okay. A lot more like ethnics, in my area. I think that's what, you know. So it was very like...
Get bullied a bit?
No, I wouldn't say I didn't get bullied, but
you just had to look after yourself.
Yeah, look after myself because they kind of had a bit of attitude, you know, and I was just like the blonde girl. I know I'm a big name and, you know, people know who I am, but being a world champion, you know, obviously becomes bigger, but it becomes, you know, people, you know, will have no choice but to really kind of respect me a bit more.
Ebony Briggs is working really well, good combination, really mixing it up, lovely variation.
If I've got to go on a back foot and jab a head off to win it, that's what I've got to do.
The voice of Ebony Briggs in studio with us. By the way, Gareth tried to choke me on the way out there.
Oh, stop.
Gareth tried to choke me.
You
Gareth
liked it. I've seen your face.
I on my way to a comfort break, you were calling me out. I said I couldn't have him. All I did was slide...
It was a joke.
I just slid a little choke on.
I felt the power.
You walked out and he was like, he's pretty strong.
As I said, he's pretty strong, he is. For an old geezer, I said.
It's just strong. A bit of old man strength. It won't last long, don't worry.
Ebony Briggs here. Like, I've got to make sure I don't just talk to you about female boxing. Because me and you, we've worked together on DAZN and you know your boxing in general. But there are a couple of really big female fights coming up. So I've got to ask you your opinion.
Night.
Exactly. It's ladies' night as well. Exactly. Clarissa Shields, Savannah Marshall is the big one coming up. September 10th. Are you going to go to it?
Of course. Can't miss that.
What are you thinking?
This is a
huge... You had a couple of quid. Who does the money go on?
Do you know what?
I'm putting you on the spot. I know.
This is why I really am so excited about this fight and I can't wait to see it because it really is... I wouldn't say, I don't know if it's a 50-50 fight, but
it's
like...
The whole fight's cool.
It's great. It's kind of like, it's a mix of styles, right? So it's like, what I believe is Clarissa wins on points or Savannah Marshall knocks her out. If Sav doesn't knock her out, I think Clarissa wins on points. Mm. I just think that, you know, I just feel like the more pedigree fighter would be Clarissa. She's very slick. She's more experienced, let's be honest. Do you know what I mean? She's had the much better opposition. All her fights have been... Her opponents had full camps. Mm. They've been ex-champions, you know, and she's won them convincingly nearly every single round, right? Like, we know Sav knocks girls out, all right? We know that. But Sav, and it's not up to Sav, but her opponents have had 1 week notice, 2 weeks notice, 3 weeks notice. Which ones were champs? I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. And it's nothing against Sav because she's great too. And she's stylistically, and there's no doubt that she is strong. But it is a lot easier to knock someone out that's had two weeks preparation or a week preparation than a full camp like a lot of Clarissa's opponents. I know how I feel after 2 weeks in camp and I'm nowhere near how I feel at the end of camp, do you know? But I think they're both very different fights. I feel like Marshall, she's got that, like, almost that Fury style, isn't it? Like, kind of awkward and, like, really...
Really big as well,
really,
isn't she?
Yeah, she's big. But
she's got... sorry, I mean, not to take your 25 minutes away, Evan.
If you don't cut in, you're never going to weigh in. I know you well enough
to know that if you don't cut in, Ebony just talks the next hour.
Especially
hour
about
and
boxing.
See you at midnight, guys. Yeah. the thing is, Sav's going to be hit more than she's ever been hit. And I think Clarissa's going to be hit harder than she's ever been hit.
I agree.
And so I think it's a really difficult fight to call. And I've got a feeling, given that the rivalry's been there for 10 years and they haven't been able to meet in a ring, because it's 11 years, 2011, Qing Hao Dao at the World Amateur Boxing Championships in China. Sav wins. Qing Hao Dao. Honestly, I didn't know.
Why did you just throw some Chinese in there?
The woman Kui Shuo Putonghua. Woman Kui Shuo Putonghua, yeah. And Ed's shaking his head at me. That means we can speak Chinese, Ed. But they must have a lot of Espanol to get this.
Oh, look at this.
Whatever you want to do. But what I'm saying is, 11 years ago, they had that fight. And they haven't been able to get in a ring with each other since.
No, so it's like a build-up. It's like
you'll
blue balls
tell me
almost.
This as a fighter. The build-up, the actual respect for each other. We might get a really cagey fight.
Yeah, do you know what? I think they're both going to come out. I feel like it depends on who's going to be the calmest, right? Because their emotions are going to be wild. I feel like Sav seems to be a lot more calm than Clarissa, to be fair. That's how it comes on the outside. And
I think Clarissa does that on purpose.
Tell me about Clarissa's power. Is she pillow fists or not?
No, she can crack.
I think she can crack. She can crack. But I think...
Obviously, Savannah...
No,
you know, crack
I think
power.
Savannah is definitely stronger. Mm. The difference is Clarissa's opponents have camps. Clarissa's opponents are prepared. Do you know what I mean? And that's what happens when you're at the top and you're champion. You usually are prepared, you know? And it's a lot harder to knock out champs. It's a lot harder to knock out people that had camps, and that's what I believe.
Can we throw it back to you then? Since you won the world title,
yes.
I mean, you weren't a raw novice when you came here, but you were raw in lots of ways. Has everything changed for you under Jimmy and Mark Tibbs since you became world champion?
Yes, well, you know,
what changes?
100%, I don't know what it is, but even Mark and actually Jimmy said it, it's a very common thing that when you become a champion, all of a sudden you just improve by 10. It's like a confidence thing. I don't know. This is what they're telling me. Because they're
your
like,
your dream has been realized.
It's so weird.
In some
ways, it's so weird. Like, it's like something just clicks in you when you become a champion. You go back in the gym and you're like 10 times better. You know, some people, not everyone.
No, but even prior to your fight, you were really good that night. So even before becoming a champion, you going for the belt, I thought you were really good that night. Like, honestly, you were fighting. I was thinking, she set this pace. There's no way you can keep going.
You haven't
for
seen
10
me.
Honestly, you were incredible that night.
Thank
so
you.
I can't wait to see what you're going to look like now you are champion.
Yeah,
I'll just break in to let you know that Chris Billam-Smith has beaten Isaac Chamberlain on points in Bournemouth, the Battle of Bournemouth.
Do you know what the scorecards were?
I don't know at the moment, but we'll bring them to you. Yeah. It was a real... We were getting very excited out there before we came on air watching that tonight. I'm sorry to break in, but it's that kind of show.
It's like
three people with ADHD in the studio tonight.
It's difficult, isn't it? It's
difficult. No, it's not difficult. For me and Ebony, it's just difficult for you.
I can't get involved.
We've got ADHD.
I can't get involved.
So it's fine.
Yeah, you guys are okay. I can't get involved. We're going to get Ebony's thoughts on Chris Billam-Smith and Isaac Chamberlain. Sticking with Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall, is Clarissa the best pound-for-pound female fighter out there? Do you think she's number one?
Do you know what? I find that it's really hard between her and Katie for me. I think her and Katie are really...
We don't sit on the fence in this show, by the way. We just you got to have a number one.
Katie's last performance was really
dramatic,
really good.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. She
against a fellow pound for pounder.
Yes, definitely.
Is Serrano not two? After that performance as well, and maybe Clarissa
one
three.
Second, Gav, one second, Gav. Can she have her five? This is you can say your five after if you want.
Yeah, go on.
What's your five?
I'll do my five.
Oh, am I doing my five?
We'll all do our five.
Okay,
go on, you go first.
So I've got Clarissa, Katie, and Serrano. Honestly, I can interchange between those three, depending on what you want to rate your top pound for pound, because there's so many different ideals on what's...
She didn't say that. Did she say that? She did. All right, give it a... Ebony, go on. What's your number one?
Clarissa.
Okay, number two?
Katie.
All right, go on then.
Serrano.
Yep.
Maya.
Yep.
Sinessa
Estrada. I like it.
Yep.
Just signed to Top Rank.
I know,
well,
amazing.
Estrada.
I'm so excited for her.
Lovely lady.
Yes,
really good fighter as well.
She's incredible.
Okay, that's interesting. That's your five. Gareth?
Katie Taylor, Clarissa Shields, Amanda Serrano, Jessica McCaskill, and Michaela Mayer.
Oh, this is...
McCaskill?
Yeah, she is undisputed at 147.
Yeah.
Ebony's making faces. Ebony's making faces. She's making faces. What are you doing?
Make noises. Make noises. Yeah, yeah. Make noises, radio. Please.
Just go no school. That's what Mayor called.
No skill, McCaskill.
That's what they say, no skill, yeah. McCaskill. I don't believe that, by the way.
I think she's produced.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, she's...
No, okay, so I'm going Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Clarissa, Amanda.
Cineasta.
No, Michaela. No. I think Michaela Meyer is very good. And then Estrada.
So the same as me?
Yeah, did you have...
Oh, no, I didn't have Katie first.
You've not got Ebony Bridges in your top five. Addy, you are a bad
man. You
wait. She's in my top.
I'm just his favorite boxer in general. 12, like, you know,
top 12. There's some really good champions out there. Some really good
and
champions.
And I'm one of them.
Yeah. Do you look at those kind of things though? Do you think, like, do I want to be up the ladder? Do you care about that kind of stuff?
No. All I care about is becoming undisputed and getting all the belts. You know, because I believe that pound for pound is it's subjective. You know, it's very subjective and it depends on how you look at it and what you're reading. Everyone has it in a different sense, you know. So you go on BoxRec and you're like, what the hell, with their pound for pound. So, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as I'm getting talked about and people are loving and enjoying watching me fight and I'm there to get excited when they hear that Ebony Bridges is fighting, then that's all that matters to me. I want to be an entertainer.
The fact that we've all kind of got different pound for pounds in different orders, it shows how many talented females out there right now, because you do that pound for pound a few years back and you might have struggled. Now, though, there's so many. We've got world champions, like Chantel Cameron is not even in that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I feel like she gets forgotten about. I think Chantel Cameron is amazing. Unfortunately, she doesn't seem to be as active, and she's had some really bad luck with just fights. You know, she was supposed to fight Kaylee for the Undisputed, and that fell through because of, you know, personal issues with Kaylee. But, yeah, it's just all these kind of things. And what you're saying back before about how, you know, a couple of years ago it would have been really hard, because a few years ago there might have been, like, one name, Katie Taylor, or like three, because there was no platform or no broadcast showing the women. So how can people know about us? Mm. You know, so that's what it's come. And also obviously the sport building and everyone, you know, just evolving, you know, women's boxing is evolving now so much. It's such an exponential rate. It's going off. Like,
it's going crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's like gone from here to there in like 2 seconds. And I just love it, you know. And
you're a big part of that as well, Ebony.
Thank you. I mean, I hope we all are in this era, but yeah. But I can do it all, and I know I can do it all, and I've been doing it all. If it means I have to be a messy brawler and, like, just mess her up and be, you know, like, that kind of, like, you know, like, rough person fighting, and if that's what I've got to do to win, I'm going to do it. So I'm so confident. I've never been so confident for a fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, on Talk Sport, myself, Addy Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis, and the current IBF bantamweight champion is with us as well, Ebony Bridges, for the next, 20 or so minutes. We might... ask us to stay for one more section. We might just do that.
Well, as long as she calms down, yeah? Like no, Ebony knows what I mean. I'm always telling her, look, calm down. Don't use any Australian expletives, yeah? Don't use the F word because it slips out too easily. but it's true, mate. Isn't it, mate?
Was that your Australian accent?
It was New Zealand.
No, but the thing is, last week we had Pat McCormack in, and, you know, he's not a naturally effusive guy. But we found out fighters are so fascinating. Like you explained earlier, you know, you're a pretty blonde woman, attractive blonde woman. But when you're out in a club, they don't realise there's a savage in there. And you were explaining it earlier, like the elbow will come over, or the flying knee will come in. Where does that come from inside you?
I honestly don't know. I can't explain it. I just. You know, I suppose I really not put up with a lot. Like, it takes me a lot to kind of click. Like, even me, you see me in fight week, like, I'm always bubbly and I'm happy and I'm smiling and because that's just the kind of person I am. But, you know, when I step through those ropes, you know, something switches. Just like if I was out when I was younger and I'm in a pub and this girl comes up and wants to start trouble and slap me, like, I'm going to switch, you know what I mean?
Are you defensive in that way, though, that you're always... Like, you're always primed for something about to happen. Are you a survivor in that way?
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm just, always ready, you know, like, just don't mess with me. Like, don't mess with me. Like, I'm a very strong, like, a very strong, not stubborn, but like willed person. You know, I don't let anyone tell me what to do. I don't let anyone tell me how to be. I think it's really important that we, you know, shouldn't, you know, should always be true to ourselves and stand strongly in what you believe in. And I believe my values and my morals and what I, you know, strive for are good things, you know. So I'm not going to crumble and be a yes man. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, people don't like that, so I better change, or, oh, you know, someone doesn't like this or someone's saying that. Because no matter what you do in life, there's going to be people that don't like it. You know, you'll see, you know, I did university, you know, I didn't need 10, yeah, 8
people,
years.
People forget that you're your high school maths teacher.
Yeah, well, I did, you know, like a double degree and a master's degree, right? Anyways, yeah, I'm going in this, chucking it. No, but I did, you know, and when you'd study, you would find arguments, you know.
Did there you would be, sit still long enough to study?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I loved math. Math is like one of my hyper-focuses. Right. So it was and actually sometimes I'd forget to do everything because I was so focused, I was so into it. But no, like when you're doing studying, you'll see, like there's arguments. You'll have one thing and then you'll have something supporting that's the complete opposite, you know. It's like, complete
and
argument.
That inquiry is fascinating,
and it
isn't it? That inquiry is fascinating.
And it is like that, but that's
things,
like
yeah.
that's like life. You see it on Twitter. You can have arguments over all day over anything because not everyone agrees. Mm. Not everyone likes the same thing. So why should you change who you are or your thoughts or your what you're doing because someone doesn't like it? Or
does that come down to you literally stripping off for weigh-ins then?
I don't know what you mean by that.
In terms of...
I don't know what you mean.
What I mean is like having that attitude. No, I'm going to do it like this. I'm
regardless
not going
to... Regardless of
what people... No, because you're in...
I mean, everyone takes their clothes off. Everyone wears underwear. It's the same. The only difference is I got mad bolt-ons. They probably cost me a lot more than everyone else's. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But everyone gets into their underwear.
No, but there is a part of
And yeah,
you, though,
I move a little bit.
No, but that shows. You show as well.
I have confidence.
Yeah. No, but you're a bodybuilder.
Exactly.
So that's why we've talked about this
exactly.
before. That's why you have the confidence
so the
to
difference.
Show your body.
So
you
that's
know?
The difference. Yeah. I don't strip my clothes off and whatever and get in my underwear a lot less clothes than everyone else. I'm still wearing underwear, just like everyone else. The difference is that I have this presence because I was a bodybuilder for 10 years. So, I turn a little bit cute and I'm feminine and I do cute little quarter turns and pose while I'm up there because I love it. You know what I mean?
There was a part of you, though, that still felt like you had to prove to people you could fight. So you do all this. You come in and you obviously look
I love
like you're
doing
a very
that,
good-looking woman. But it was almost a part of you that was like, okay, guys, I do all this, but I can fight.
Yeah, of course. And I knew that my fighting would do the talking. They just had to see me. That's why I'm not going to change. Why should I change and be what you want me to be and what everyone else is doing? Because you think just because I'm pretty and I'm feminine or I got boobs or I wear lingerie or because I do little quarter turns and cute little poses while I'm standing there entertaining everyone at my weigh-ins because it's an entertainment sport, that means that I don't fight. And I didn't need to change all that because I knew I could fight. You seen it in the Courtney fight, you know? No one's seen me before Courtney because my fights aren't aired in the UK.
You're more of a fighter than a boxer, frankly. I don't mean that in a rude way.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not.
You like to go... No,
Mike Tibbs is turning me into a fight boxer.
Okay, no, but you
but
like
you
a
like
brawl.
Scrap.
You
course, yeah.
like a brawl.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? You
I
do.
Love it.
We've seen it over and over again.
I do. I mean, you know, my favourite boxing is Mexican-style boxing. And
who were you inspired by growing up? Fighters?
Probably Costa Zou was like my hero because obviously in Australia, Costa Zou was huge. And Tyson. Mm. But then when I got more into boxing, it was all the Mexicans, you know, the Chavez and Barrera and Morales, when I could see a lot more of them. But obviously in Australia, back then, you know, we had like DVDs and the tapes and it was all the Australian boxing. You know, you couldn't really get much from overseas.
Was there any ever pushback like that you knew about from other female fighters towards you? Like now I feel like you get on with a lot of female fighters. I've seen you at shows and there's a few, but was there a pushback into look what she's doing? I remember your first fight with Shani and she kept on pointing at you. Saying,
oh, besides her?
Yeah.
I think there would have been a lot, but not really. People are very, people are too scared to talk, you know what I mean? I'm sure that I had a lot of haters. Oh, in Australia, there's plenty, you know what I mean? Because I made it.
Really?
I got out. Yeah, well, that's like anywhere I feel like, whatever country. I was just talking about this the other day. Something about countries, like, you know, you'll find it here, they'll carry you until you're up, and then once you've made it, they start trying to bring you down. You know what I mean?
No, like, but that's unfortunately, and social media is the perfect place to discuss that at the moment. Yeah. When you do what you do, and when Addy rightly mentioned you had to prove something fighting because people thought your gimmick was just stripping off, showing your tattoos, yeah. and as you were saying about your body just now. And, the point is, in that moment, the implosion for you, and you've got hundreds of thousands of social media followers now, is that half of them hate you straight away and half of them love you straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you win over the haters.
Exactly.
As John Jones, the great John Bones Jones, who always used to tell me, I've told Addy this before, he always used, you know, of the UFC fame, the 10-80-10 rule. 10% always love you, 10% will always hate you, and the 80 swing in the middle. Mm. And if you can harness that, which you have done so brilliantly, you develop a platform.
Yes.
And the more you develop your platform, the less you swear, the less you're an Aussie, you're more of a Brit.
Stop, we love you. I would never be more of a Brit. I've got to keep my Australian.
But the thing is, you've found your home here.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And the other thing I wanted to really get into with you tonight, because I've known Jimmy and Mark Tibbs for a really long time. You know, Jimmy is old school East End mafia boxing.
I never ever thought Jimmy and Mark Tibbs would train a female.
But no, that's and to picture Jimmy, I mean, what's Jimmy said to you? Because Jimmy's in his
70s. Okay, you want to listen to what he said to me literally 2 weeks ago.
He sparred with Ali. You need to put a context in.
He's as old school as they come.
East End custom docs as you'll ever get.
So, old school English fought gangster. Of a woman in a boxing ring.
Yeah. So there's actually like two particular moments with the boys, but I'm going to talk about one recently, which was literally last week. I was getting him to glove me up, right? And he looks right at me.
Jimmy or Mark?
Jimmy.
Okay, yeah.
And he looked right at me. He goes, you know what? I never thought I would be doing this.
Exactly.
And I'm like, what do you mean, Jimmy? He goes, I never thought I would say or even help a woman in a boxing gym. I never thought it. And I go, and I said to him, I go, but I'm your favorite, aren't I? And he goes, you know what? And he goes, you are, you're great. Like, he, honestly, Jimmy's like my granddad. Like, he's really taking me in. Like, he'll be like, when I leave the gym, he'll always say, love ya, you know what I mean? Like, gives me cuddles, and he's like, oh, you know.
Did Mark
like,
train your friend recently as well?
Yeah.
Elbrook.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was just recently with Jimmy. Yeah, and then earlier, like in my first camp, I remember Mark was working with me and Jimmy was there. Mark looked at Jimmy and he was like, Dad, who would have thought that we would have a girl in the gym? And he goes, I never thought I'd see the day. He goes, I never thought I would either. And you know what? The thing is that, and Mark, if you hear his interviews about me, Mark says there's something about Ebony, you know, I just liked her style. He loves that Mexican style boxing. I always send it to him too. I'm like, let's do this, Mark. Let's do that. You know, and he goes, I love the style and just my, you know, honestly, my energy. And when I've come into the gym before just to have a go train there like once off and stuff, this the energy that I bring to the gym. And Jimmy said to me the other day, you know what, Eb? He goes, you come in here and you've just set the bar. He goes, you've set the bar for all these boys up here because of your professionalism and how hard you train and just everything that you do. And he goes, and it's great. And Mark always says, I can't wait the boys come and see this. They go, boys, you be watching this and what I'm doing, you know? And
you're talking about the
younger guys. Yeah, of course. You know what I mean?
It's brilliant for them.
And it's good for them. Like, I know I am a woman and you know, I'm tiny and you're huge, but it's more about the mindset and the drive and the discipline that I have that's obviously comes a little bit with maturity as well, but it's just that mindset that you need to be a champion. That's why I'm a champion.
Have you been surprised by the way the UK fans have taken to you?
Not recently.
I'm trying to think of a recent fighter from abroad that's had the same fanfare.
I never expected this. I literally got on Twitter 2 years ago and I was just myself, you know, swearing, you know, me doing my thing, see this, F that, like, look at my weigh-ins, here's how I fight, whatever, bantering with the fans, talking about boxing, because I love boxing. Like, you know, I can talk all day about boxing. So I'd be on, and I was like, where's...
Eb, you can talk all day.
Yes,
about
in general.
About
I know. Yeah. Is this, now, but is this, did you want to know about me, or do you want me to shut up?
But you did the Leeds connection brilliantly.
Yeah, the Leeds, you know, and the football.
You always supported Leeds United, didn't you? So that was a brilliant kind of segue
here as well. Well, the thing is like... When Leeds, back when I was younger and I played football, which was the late 90s and early 2000s, you know, Leeds was huge in Australia. But it's hard to keep up with a football team when they're not in a Premier League in Australia. So then there was a real dry spot. But then when I came to the UK and into the UK and just seeing the football fans, it's so much different here. I was like, man, like, and I got into the football properly, like he, as you would like a Brit, you know, because he can't help it. And it's just amazing. I love the football community, the Leeds community, and just everything about here, you know. It's great. It's been great for me, and I never would have expected it, but I'm so grateful for all of it.
Ebony Bridges, honestly great. Loads of texts coming in about you as well. Eb, keep doing what you're doing. You're a breath of fresh air from Old Pat. And this one's coming in. Good evening,
old
everyone.
Pat.
Old Pat. That's what he says here. Old Pat.
Old Pat. I know. He's a regular caller.
Oh, there you go.
Old
Pat. Yeah, he is, yeah. And good evening, everyone. Ebony, it was an absolute pleasure to meet you today with my daughter, Holly.
Oh.
I just want to ask you, how long do you think it will be before there will be a complete ladies... What are they saying now? Super show.
There is one.
There's one coming up.
Yeah, that's
September.
There's one coming up. There you go.
Yeah.
All female card. What do you think about all female card? I know we're going to get a break, but what about all female card? Happy or not?
I think it's great for the sport, but I'm not sure that it's going to do what we think.
For me, if I can do all that and I'm not victorious, which I don't, you know, I really do believe I am, then I'm going to be happy, you know, because that's what I want to show. I want to show improvements. Basically, no one's going to do it for me. You know, no one does it for you. No one does it for you. And and so I had no choice, really.
I came into this fight very confident and believing in myself, and there was no thought of me not coming out as a world champion.
Good evening, everyone. The voice of Ebony Bridges, IBF Bantamweight Champion, is with us in studio alongside myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. Ebony, some subjects I want to go through with you. First one, let's go, this one. YouTube boxing. Jake Paul, obviously, KSI, the big names in YouTube boxing world. What do you make of it all?
I think, you know what? I think the problem that people do with the YouTube boxing and the boxing fans in general is they compare it to boxing. It's not boxing. It's YouTube boxing.
Well, yeah, you say that, but Jake Paul's fighting a real fight. He's fighting
Hasim Rahman. Oh, he is now. But hey, why? Okay.
Yeah.
So... You see, white collar boxers come through and they turn pro, no one gives them as much problem, you know what I mean? Mm. Grief, for example. They're like, okay, well, they're not that great. They did white collar, but now, okay, and they build their way up. Like Fabio Wardley, for example, right? Yeah. So, and then you've got Jake Paul. Okay, I get it. You call him a YouTube boxer, but he takes it seriously. I've just been training with Elle Brooke, right? TikToker. Mm. She just had a fight. She's in the gym training just as hard as all of us. Dedicating her life just as much, right? And she's now seeing what boxing is like. And that's what happens when you start training boxing. They might start off as YouTubers, but they fall in love with the sport. Anyways, I'm not saying that they're going to ever be world champions, but they might. You don't know, right? You just, because of they're dedicating themselves. Mm. I had my first amateur fight 6 years ago. I turned pro 3 years ago. Look where I am, alrighty? So all I'm saying is I think the biggest problem is people are comparing the YouTube when they just YouTubers versus YouTubers or TikTokers versus TikTokers, and they go, oh, it's not boxing, but because it isn't. Mm. It's YouTube boxing. Mm. Just like amateur boxing's amateur boxing.
It's still a fight though, isn't it?
It's still a fight, and they still go in there and they can still get hurt. They still got to put themselves through it.
Still go through the nerves,
it still takes balls to go in through those ropes. Yeah. It does, and you got to respect them for that. Because, you know, your Joe Blow on the couch whinging about it would never do it.
Yeah.
Good luck going and getting hit. So I have respect for anyone that gets through the ropes. These guys, they're making a lot of money, but you got to remember, they built their brand and their name and through hard work from starting at the bottom in their careers, in their TikTok or whatever.
They know what graft is. Yeah. Jake Paul knows what graft is.
Exactly. And people didn't like me when I first come on the scene because they're like, oh, you know, Ebony's just this and that, and she's just an Instagram boxer and all she does is just promote this and that. Well, you know what? It is marketing because it is a business. Boxing is a business, and Jake Paul does it great, and look where he is and look what he's done with women's boxing. He helped put together one of the biggest women's fights in the world.
Yeah, he was Serrano, co-promoter.
Yes,
yeah,
he did Serrano, a great job of it.
Female fight we've ever seen.
The great thing is about him, I think he showed a real sense of nous because Amanda Serrano was on one of his cards. The story is, for those listening, he found out she was earning $30,000. She's one of the greatest female fighters of all time. You know, 7-weight world champion. Just completely, he saw it as completely unfair and said, you know what? You're coming under my wing. I'm earning millions to fight. I want to help promote you. And he did a brilliant job with the Taylor Serrano fight with Eddie Hearn.
Incredible.
I'd like to see him and Eddie Hearn in a ring, I'll be honest. I really would.
Eddie's in shape.
Eddie's fit.
And Eddie can throw hands, you know.
He's beating up his dad. We saw him beat up Frank too.
But they
both broke. He broke his finger. Yeah, but you're not gonna imagine if Frank Smith,
Eddie would never get
the underling of Eddie Hearn at a match. Imagine if he knocked out Eddie Hearn. He ain't got a job anymore.
He's done.
You know?
If Jake, you know? Paul,
and then you've got Chris. He's together, of course, with Emily Eubank, who's the daughter of Chris Eubank. So then you're gonna get anyway. Never mind. I was going off on a tangent.
No.
Ed's shaking his head. I just saw lots of street fights. And everything.
Yeah, right,
Eubank Senior and Eddie Hearn.
I thought you was doing a perfect segue. segue to talk about Eubank.
No, I was. I was.
But it's going to take a while to get there.
Yeah, it was going to take
there.
A while. But so, Chris Eubank and Conor Benn, is it going to happen?
I don't know. Hey, no, I don't
no,
think
you
so.
Do know.
I don't
just
think
say
so.
It. Just say it.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
Why?
Because of the weight difference.
So you wouldn't fight. You wouldn't fight Michaela Meyer, no?
Oh yeah, but yeah, I would.
There you go. So there you go.
But the boys are a little different. I think.
Why? You'd go up two weight divisions, wouldn't you?
I just feel. Yeah, I would. But girls would do anything. We go up and down all the time. Like, we'd fight whoever. Like, girls fight girls. That's why
so why can't Conor go up and
because
fight
I
Chris Eubank?
I'm not sure that...
Ooh,
I mean,
wait,
he can.
Are you saying that Conor should go to 160 as opposed to the...
No, no, I think there should be a catch weight. No, if you were fighting Michaela Meyer, I'd expect it to be maybe...
She's like
2 foot
taller than me, too. I know, I'd be punching her thighs. I would
hey,
be punching
hey,
her
there's
thighs.
Nothing wrong with punching thighs, apparently.
I don't know where my head would be, but it would have been the right spot.
I'm just so happy Ebony said punching thighs down.
I was going to say something else.
I was just waiting for anything to come out.
So you don't think that fight's going to happen, but we believe it's going to be announced in a couple of days' time.
Okay, really? I don't think it's going to happen. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if you've got the
inside
scoop.
Who wins?
I've got to back my boy, Conor. I think people underestimate Conor still to this day. Mm. I do think that, and I just think that he's strong as well. And he can be... I don't know.
It's a big jump, though, isn't it?
It is a big jump.
This is the best Billericay Brentwood bias going on.
I know, yeah, maybe it is. But you know what? And also because I know Conor from back in Australia and his dad lives around the corner from me in Australia. So I'm more Team Ben.
Was he any influence in you getting into it, his dad?
No, no, it wasn't.
Did you know him at the time?
Yeah, 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 of course. Yeah, I've known Conor and that for years, since he was like 16, 17.
Did you ever talk to Nigel Benn about boxing then?
I actually had Nigel Benn in 2019 hold some... Is this okay?
Yeah.
So you're pointing.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I?
No,
yeah. So this is actually, I'm actually really good friends with Conor's twin sister, India. She's we're really good friends, and they do live around the corner from me. And Nigel Benn hurled pads for me in 2019. I think it was after my date. It was after my debut, and he said to me, I did a 1-2, and the first thing he said to me was like, he stopped and he goes, oh my God, he goes, you hit like a man. And he goes, don't take any offense. I don't mean any offense in that, but you are so strong. Like, you hit so strong. He goes to me, you can be a world champion one day. And then he said to me, you just need more finesse, right? And he goes, you need more finesse. Because I was just a slugger. You know, and that was
Nigel didn't have much finesse himself.
No, but I know
that's really interesting.
But this was two years ago, and that's exactly what I said to him. And when I spoke to him in India after my world title fight, because obviously, you know, they tuned in, and I said to India, I go, you know, I hope you and your dad are watching, because of course we watched. And I said, your dad told me I'd be a world champion one day, and I'm glad that I was able to say what he said, you know, and become what he said, because I do believe it. I believed it as well, you know, and it was great to have someone like him say that to me.
Honestly, your story is fantastic. Just before you go, I can't believe you've been here an hour, by the way, but before you go, I want a prediction
from
you.
See you next week.
Same time next week, yeah. Usyk AJ, August 20th, 3 weeks' time. Don't do that face, Evan. Everybody's done that face. I don't want a prediction on this one. What are you thinking? Come on, what are you thinking?
I think Usyk does it again.
Right, let me ask that question again. No, do you really think he beats him again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's.
What's AJ got to do then, in your view, to get it?
Oh, he's just got. I feel like he has to somehow just put the pressure and make it rough and uncomfortable, which is really, really hard for Usyk, because Usyk is so slick and he's just so good. Like, honestly, he's incredible. He's fast. He's slick. And he's just got such great IQ. I just feel like Joshua, I'm not sure he has the skill, but like the boxing skill. But I feel like with having Robert Garcia in his corner now, he's going to teach him a little bit more of that, what he needs to do, that and go back to that kind of, back to the old AJ, but like with better, like more, you
the
know.
Destroyer.
Better, you know, more fine-tuned attacker, because he needs to put the pressure on and he needs to not stop, you know, and he needs to use his strength and his power, because if he doesn't, like, he's just gonna let Usyk box his head off, like, you know, you can't have that with a boxer. The best thing to do is pressure them and take away their thinking, and
stand on their toes,
just yeah. not give
push
them, a,
them into the corner,
not give them a second
dark
to think
arts, dark arts,
the dark
yeah
the
you know
bones,
what I mean
everything
yeah.
he's got it if he,
he
if
does
he can do
you know
it,
yeah. I, look you can, it's a heavyweight boxing, you know, and AJ is the bigger guy, but Usyk hurt him in the last fight as well. You know what I mean? He got dazed a few times as well. Mm. So it's just, I want AJ to win. I do.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Fantastic hour there with Ebony Bridges, giving her views on all things boxing. Well, next up, I caught up with Savannah Marshall, who was speaking about her upcoming fight with Clarissa Shields and how it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
This is the part of the camp where the hard work's been done. So come fight night, I know there's no doubt there. There's no doubt that you haven't worked hard. There's no doubt that you haven't been over this game plan a million times. And that's what gives me the confidence.
Mm. This week, we've seen another explosion with women's football, haven't we, in the country?
Yes.
I mean, does that inspire you as well? That, I mean, I've got to declare myself a fan of it now. I wasn't a fan of women's football before, but I really watched it this week and I really thought, you know what? I'm going to start following this because it really is. It's reached a level where it is pure entertainment now.
Do you know what I love? That we're seeing the women footballers on the adverts, like Lucasaid, like Nike, whereas before it was always the men. So that's nice to see because now they're getting the same opportunities what the men are getting through like deals and things like that. But definitely it's brilliant. It's absolutely unbelievable. And not as well, when you're watching it and you're seeing that the stadiums are packed, that's pretty amazing, yeah.
And I think it brings out special things from them as well. Like, you know, that Russo goal the other night, you know, with a little back flick. If Ronaldo had scored that goal, everyone would be talking about it for the next year, saying it's one of the great goals of all time. And I think we've spoken about this before. When you're in front of a bigger crowd and when you're in front of people that want you to produce something brilliant, bigger things come out of the superego, don't they? That's there naturally, with the performance of what you love doing and what you're good at.
Yeah, 100%. The atmosphere and everything gives you that little bit more 1%. You know, the crowd, the backing. So, yeah. Like I said, years ago, them stadiums would have been empty.
Mm.
I actually looked to try and get tickets and I couldn't get tickets anywhere. Really? And I thought, you know, back in the day, people were given tickets away for women's football.
Do you feel that the revolution is actually happening,
sport. Yeah. It's not women's football anymore, it's football. The footies aren't tonight. Do you know, we're in the final, it's not, them women are in the final.
So let me take you back to camp and Peter Fury. He's been very honest that this is a tough fight for you on September the 10th. You know, without revealing the intimacies of your conversations with him, has he told you that you know, this is a moment in time for you, this is a moment to savor, but also a moment to grasp that? Oh, it reminds me of when Tyson Fury went to Germany to fight Klitschko. This moment reminds me of. It feels like that big in women's boxing, you know?
Yeah, because I don't need Peter to tell me. It's an opportunity for me to change my whole life. When I beat her, my life will never be the same again. I'll be the first British woman to hold all the belts. I think I'll be the first British box. Well, not the first, but I think I'll be the the only British boxer in Britain to have all five belts. So it's all there for me. It's all there for the taking.
Just, I've never asked you about this, but recollect for me the victory over Clarissa in the Amateur World Championships in 2011, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Just recall what you knew about her and tell me a little, give me a little reportage on it was in China, wasn't it?
It was in China. So I remember getting there and everyone's talking about this new boxer America have got and she's unbeaten and she's this and she's that. And then I remember getting the draw sheet and it was Savannah, you've got the winner of America and someone else. So I got the bye and I remember thinking, oh yeah, great. Look, I've drew the new kid on the block. I remember boxing it. It was the old point system when it was punch for a point. And I think I won by about 6 or 8 points. And then that was that. That was over and I was on to the next one. But I remember coming out and thinking, God, she's an angry woman.
Really? Is that your recollection that she was angry, yeah?
She's an angry woman.
Well, it hasn't changed, has it?
Exactly. She hasn't, you know... 10 years on, she's still that angry woman.
But in the actual fight, in the boxing match, it was a bout, not a fight, because it was amateurs as well, of course. Was that 4-2s?
4-2s it was, yeah.
And what do you, I mean, it's a long time ago, you've boxed a lot of people since then.
Yeah.
How did you dominate that fight?
I think it was more with my movement and my size. I'm a lot bigger than her. But look, I'm not taking anything from that. Do you know, yeah. The only thing I own it is because it gets on her nerves. Do you know what I mean? To me, it was just another amateur fight from years and years ago. But it just so happened. Someone said this to me. April said it to me the other day, actually. She went, God, don't you think it's crazy when you think that it was just a normal fight for you? You beat her, this other female boxer, and then she went on to become never ever got beat again. Two-time Olympic medalist, won all the belts in the pros, and it just so happens it was only you to have beaten her, and now it became this super fight as you're both women. Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely mental when you think of it like that. Do you know? To me, it was just another fight.
Is it fair to say that you've been living in her head then, rent-free for 11 years?
That's what they say. Do you know? And she tries to deny it, but her actions and, you know, the way she says, it's not true. So tells us completely different other story to me.
Will there be nerves on the night? Do you suffer nerves now? And will there be nerves on the night for this one?
It's more excitement for me.
Yeah.
You know, what have I got to be nervous for? I've been waiting for this moment since I turned pro. And it's been an awful hard road for me. Mm. Sat watching lockdown, sat watching every other female boxer get their chance before me. Sat thinking, why isn't it me? Is it because I don't present myself in this way? Is it because I'm not gobby? Is it because I'm not this? Thinking my face doesn't fit. I've been waiting for this since I turned pro. So, you know, what's that to be nervous about?
It doesn't relate to you. It's another card. It's being shown on Sky Box Office. Alexander Usyk against Anthony Joshua. How pleasing was it to see Ramla Ali and Crystal Nova on that card? Obviously, women have only just been able to drive through their driving tests in Saudi Arabia in recent years and different things around societal changes. Is that pleasing to see?
So here we boxed in Saudi Arabia in 2018, and it was when Amir Khan boxed Billy Dibb. And Peter tried to get me on that card and they wouldn't have it. So that was 2018. It was because I was a woman. Honestly, yeah. Gareth, I wasn't allowed in the gym. I remember going to the shopping centre and I had a pair of leggings on and I was actually getting abuse from the women walking about the shopping centre. And at first, I found it quite funny. They were all pointing, laughing, scowling at me. And then towards the end of my shopping trip, it actually quite upset me. Yeah. I felt like, yeah, it was so... Now, to be able to see women showing their skills in boxing and giving the chance to box, it's unbelievable, 4 years on.
Well, I also caught up with Alicia Baumgardner, who's on that card, of course, at the O2 Arena on September the 10th, facing Michaela Meyer in a fantastic fight that could even steal the show. Here's Baumgardner. What does it mean to you to be on what is going to be an historic night on September the 10th with at least two massive fights involving yourself And obviously, Michaela and Clarissa and Savannah, we're having an amazing time over here in the UK at the moment. Our England women's football team, I don't know if it's been raised with you already, are through to the finals of the European Football Championships on Sunday. It's a real big growth time for women's sport at the moment. And what does it feel like to be part of that revolution?
It feels amazing. It feels that I'm a part of history. I am a part of legacy. I'm a part of making a statement in the sport of boxing, in women's sports, you know, just to say the least. And the fact that boxing is coming back again, and we're having these two massive big fights in London is amazing for just the sport. So I'm super excited to be a part of it.
Have you been that kind of person in your life, instrumental in bringing change and having to battle against maybe perception and of people and people saying that women shouldn't fight and it's ungraceful and all of those kind of things? Have you had that growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always believed in making a change. You know, if you're not making a change, what are you doing it for, right? I'm not just doing it to box. I'm not doing it for the money, for the belts. This is for legacy. This is for motivation for young kids coming up, for somebody to look up to. And it's to really make a change in women's boxing. Everybody has their own story, their own path. And if I can motivate one person, I'm doing something right. So
that arguably a lot of the women, there's about, I'd say 20 to 30 of you at the elite end at the moment, who are all money spinners, promotional grabbers, and not yourselves, but they can promote you. There's access to it all, there's interest. Do you think the women have more interesting stories than the men very often?
Yeah, they do. We all have stories. We all have motivational stories. We all have stories where we've been knocked down, we were able to get up. And, you know, with women, you know, there's women who are mothers that are fighting. There's women who are, you know, single and they're making a name for themselves, myself included. And yeah, women are really making their statement and really cementing who they are in just the sport of boxing.
What is it that makes you a fighter? Were you born a fighter? Is it nurture, the way you've grown up? Is it your struggles in life? How have you come to fighting?
Yes, I would say I'm a born fighter. I was born a fighter. I was born to live up to the challenge. I was given challenges throughout life that made me better as a woman, as an athlete. And through those challenges come defeats, comes ups and downs. But when you're able to maneuver through those and believe in yourself and have faith and believe that there's something bigger than giving up, that's huge. And that's how I was able to navigate through life at 28 right now, living my dream as a world champion and becoming undisputed at 130.
Could you single out a couple of moments in your life when you were younger that impacted on you, that made you, you said you're a born fighter, but that impacted on you, that made you have to go through struggles?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say one, just being a woman in life, right? You know, we have to make our way. And I believe that just, you know, I started wrestling, which is a male-dominated sport, and then went to boxing, which is a male-dominated sport. I said, I'm not going to allow my gender to, you know, derail me on who I am as Alicia. And so I was able to, you know, take that and use it as my motivation and become this strong woman to make a name for herself.
Were you the only girl amongst boy wrestlers when you were a teenager then? I mean, having to wrestle boys, yeah?
I was. I was the only girl. And so that just put in my mind, like, I can do this. And I didn't look back.
Jumping on to Michaela, I interviewed her last week. She said she's better than you in all departments. She's going to give you a boxing lesson, that your power is not something she fears because she has more power. How do you respond to, you know, she's got like an alter ego where she gets on one, she gets on social media and she gets very aggressive, and she's very aggressive when she talks about you. What do you make of her as an opponent and a fighter and a person?
You know, like you mentioned, it's an ego. You know, she's trying to boost her ego to make herself feel better. And she's starting to believe these things. Now, I'd be very careful if I was her. The fact that she thinks that my power isn't something that she should watch out for, every fighter should be aware of power, right? It's a respect thing. It's not even, it just comes down to respect. And, you know, at this point, Michaela has to build herself up. So we get this. But I know I'm the better athlete. My athleticism alone beats Michaela. This is a given. This is a given. I've been in sports my whole life. And to see somebody like Michaela, to me, she's average. She's not, she's just another person I have to get through. That's it. That's how I see it.
So do you think she's put, it's an act from her?
Oh, it's definitely an act. And, you know, because it's an act, you have to believe in that act and you have to keep that act up. So because this fight was announced from the beginning to where it's at now, she has to keep that act up. There's no going back because now, you know, the fight's made. September 10th is slowly approaching. So you will see.
You've obviously got great memories of fighting in the UK. It's a happy hunting ground for you. Sheffield last year, where you enacted really one of the knockouts of the year against Terry Harper. What are your memories of being in the UK? And do you enjoy the UK fans? Because we're enjoying halcyon days here with so many fans thronging to arenas. What are your memories of that event?
My memories from fighting in the UK will forever be like cemented, right? The UK is a beautiful country, beautiful people. Everybody's very welcoming. And the fact that I had gotten so much respect after that fight, even in the arena, showed me that these are true boxing fans, that they, you know, they were maybe rooting for Terry, but hey, we support Alicia for what she did and for her to come over here as a challenger, as an underdog, and to make a statement. And because of that, I think they respect the sport more. And, you know, the crowds are huge. I love it. I love the UK.
Do you plan to come here early so that you're acclimatized and spend time in a UK gym while you're here? Have you chosen one?
Yes, I do plan to come early. So I'm definitely going to come early, get acclimated to the time, you know, continue training and come fight week. We're ready to get it on.
You are a great showwoman. We saw that in Sheffield. Do you think you'll end up stealing the show on September the 10th?
I do. I think there's a lot of anticipation on, again, who is Alicia Baumgardner? She's stepping up to the plate once again to fight another world champion in the UK. We want to see more of her. You know, we've seen her with Terry. We've seen her defend her title. Now this is her true test. Who is she? And so with that anticipation and that excitement, it's going to be very telling on how the show goes. So, yes, I believe.
You're obviously just a division within reach of, say, like a Katie Taylor. Is someone like Katie Taylor an ambition for you, up another weight?
Yeah, absolutely. As a fighter, as a competitor, I want to fight the best. This is for legacy. This is for the sport of boxing. These fights make the sport. These fights allow for young girls to look up, to say, hey, I want to do a project on one of the best women's fights, you know, and those fights have to be made.
Well, that's all from me and Addy for this week, the ladies special on Fight Night. Join us next time, every Saturday night, of course, but also on the podcast every week. I'm Gareth A. Davis. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.